down at the cross where my Savior died. Down where for cleansing from sin I cry. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. I am so wondrously saved from sin. Jesus so sweetly abides within. There at the cross where he took me in. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. O precious fountain that saves from sin, I am so glad I have entered in. There Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Come to this fountain so rich and sweet. Cast thy poor soul at the Savior's feet. Plunge in today and be made complete. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. There to my heart was the blood applied. Glory to his name.
Amen and good morning, GBF. We're going to jump back into Acts chapter 2 this morning. It's good to see all of you here today. Matt has snuck in this morning from children's camp, and then he goes back to children's camp, and then he stays for youth camp. So he needs prayer. Amen. I told him he's exceeded anything I ever did in my 15 years at youth ministry. But anyway, we're thankful for that, and we're thankful for children's camp. I've been obviously talking to my wife, Andrea, and she said things are going great. I think they took 70-something children to camp. Second, literally, only to First Baptist Arlington, if you can believe that. And so, which Andrea, that's where we met, ironically, was at First Baptist Arlington. The youth intern met the children's intern, and it went from there. And so anyway, but they're having a great week from what she's telling me. So I want to thank you for your prayers. I know many of you have been praying for the children and for the sponsors at Children's Camp. And so thank you very much for their prayers. If you're a guest with us here today, there's a place in the bulletin that says, "Welcome to Grace Bible Fellowship." If you'll take a moment and fill that out, then you can place it, tear it off, place it in the little wood offering box back there by where you came in, and that lets us know who was here worshiping with us today. Well, before we continue in worship, we need to do something that's critically important to worshiping God, and that is we need to get our minds and our hearts focused on Him. Amen. I'm going to ask you, if you would, just to bow with me for a moment. We all come here today with a lot of things going on in our lives. Some of us are just super, super busy, and we're trying to figure out how we're going to pull it all together. Others have hurtful things. Others have painful things They've got physical things going on in their lives. And but whatever it is, the good, the bad, the ugly, whatever it is, I'm going to ask you to do something right now. I'm going to ask you to just take a moment and lay that stuff at the feet of Jesus. And for the next hour, let him be God of whatever's going on in your life. Let him be in control for 1 hour. Quit worrying and quit fretting. And spend this next hour just loving him. In other words, when we continue singing in a moment, mean what you sing from your heart. Lift it up as a praise offering to your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that needless to say, suffered more than you and I have ever imagined. Paid the price for our sins, died for our sins, rose again on the third day so that we could be forgiven, so that we could have eternal life. So I submit to you this morning, if you'll lay all of your stuff, whatever your stuff is, we all have it, at the feet of Jesus, and you'll focus on being a blessing to him, maybe even instead of him blessing you. If you'll focus on honoring him, lifting up his name, and being a blessing to him, he'll bless you this morning in ways you could never dream or imagine. Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we thank you for the truth of your word. And we thank you for learning about how the church began in the book of Acts and learning what the purpose of the church is from the book of Acts. And we thank you and we praise you for your word. And Lord, today we want to love you. We want to spend this hour just loving you. Just worshiping you. That's what worship is, loving you, praising you, thanking you. Most of us in here, if not all of us, are probably in the top 5% of the richest people on planet Earth. And so, Father, we want to thank you today for all your blessings. And we ask you to get our minds and our hearts in a place where we can honor you in this service. And we want this service to be about you, not about us. But to be about you and to be a blessing to you. And we want this service to lift up the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and give him glory. And so, Father, again today, help us to get our minds and our hearts where it's all about you. In Jesus' name, amen.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And all precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this I see. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And all precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fountain. much I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. I know who you are, cross of salvation was only the start. Now I am chosen, free and forgiven. I have a future, and it's worth the living. I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. So why would I make bet in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours, and I was made for more. I know who I am, 'cause I know who you are. The cross of salvation was only the start. Now I am chosen, free and forgiven. I have a future, and it's worth the living. 'Cause I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. And I was made for more. So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours, and I was made for more. Hallelujah. You called out my name, so I'll sing out your praise. Hallelujah. You buried my past, I'm not going back. I'll sing out your praise. Hallelujah. You buried my past, I'm not going back. 'Cause I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised. back to life again. I was made for more. So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours, and I was made for more. I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. So why would I make a bed in my shame when a fountain of grace is running my way? I know I am yours, and I was made for more. To Jesus I surrender all, to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. And I Jesus, I surrender humbly at His feet. I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now, and I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all to Jesus. I surrender, Lord. I give myself to Fill me with Thy love and power. Let Thy blessing fall on me, and I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee. To Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all.
Father, I pray that You help us to do that this morning. That before Chris comes up here to speak to us Your words and Your wisdom, that You would help us to surrender all of it to You, all the distractions, all the worries that we have, the things that we know we have to deal with this week, maybe something that took place this last week. Whatever it is that's distracting us from being able to abide in you this morning, Father, I pray that you will help us to lay that at your feet. Give us ears to hear this morning. Give us the energy we need to enjoy this time in your presence, Father, and not just to hear the words and let them go out the other ear, but show us how we are to apply it. Put that on our hearts and open our eyes to the opportunities you give us to share it with others this week, Father. Let us not be just hearers of the word, but doers. We thank you for this morning that you've given us. We thank you for the things that are happening at Children's Camp right now, for the lives that are being touched and changed by you, for your glory and for their benefit. And we pray that as they have their last 24 hours or so at camp, that you would continue to write your name on their hearts, that each of those kids at camp right now would have a closeness with you that would make the rest of us so jealous. Let this next generation be the generation that brings the revival in this country, Father, and in this world, for your glory. It's in Jesus' name that we pray all these things. Amen.
Amen. We're going to be in Acts chapter 2 if you want to open your Bibles up to Acts chapter 2. And let's take a moment and just lift up these children real quick. Father, we come to you today and we thank you for this camp, this children's camp. I thank you for the pastor that speaks there every year, and a great man, precious man, has a special way of relating the gospel to children. So I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would open their little minds and their little hearts and help them to be able to receive your truth. I pray that you would help them to know how much you love them, and I pray that you would help them to know how much you've sacrificed for them, and I pray that you would help them to understand that you have a great plan for their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, today we're going to talk about Peter's first sermon ever, explaining Pentecost. And we're again in Acts chapter 2, and we're going to begin in verse 14. The Bible says, "But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, meaning the other 11 apostles, raised his voice and declared to them, 'Men of Judea and all of you who live in Jerusalem.'" Now, what he means by "all of you who live in Jerusalem," he's meaning those of you who are living in Jerusalem who have traveled here to celebrate Pentecost. And you may remember, we've talked about this, Pentecost was the first day of the Feast of Weeks, of Shavuot. It was also called the Feast of Harvest, but Pentecost was the first day, and the word Pentecost actually means 50th. In other words, Pentecost started 50 days after the Passover, okay? And so that's what they're doing. They're all there in Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost. So he says, "Men of Judea," Peter says, "and all of you living in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give heed to my words." Now, when he says "give heed to my words," it's like Chris Irvin saying, "Hey, you don't want to miss what I'm about to tell you." I've said that a million times to y'all, right? Probably this is to the point that it's going right over your head now. But anyway, that's what he's saying. He says, "I'm about to tell you something really important, so give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose," some of the scoffers in the crowd, right? There's always scoffers in the crowd. They accused the disciples of being drunk when they started speaking in other languages, which doesn't even make sense to me, but there's always those people out there, right? And so he says, "For these men are not drunk, as you suppose," verse 13, "for it is only the third hour of the day," meaning it's only 9 a.m., and I'll explain that later, why nobody gets drunk at 9 a.m. if you're a devout Jew. Just doesn't happen, and I'll explain that in a few minutes. Verse 16, "But this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel, 'And it shall be in the last days,' God says, 'that I will pour forth my spirit on all mankind. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my bondslaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will grant wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Can I have an amen? Now, you may remember from verses 1 through 13 that we talked about last time that, again, the day of Pentecost was the day that the Holy Spirit just came roaring in on these disciples like a violent wind, the Bible says. And along with the Spirit landing on each of them like tongues of fire came this linguistic miracle of being able to speak in various languages. So that everyone who had come to Jerusalem, who had traveled to Jerusalem to celebrate Pentecost, could understand the gospel in their native language. And so these people in Jerusalem, they're puzzled and they're even disturbed, and they've never seen or heard of anything like this before in their lives. Verse 12, and as always, again, there were scoffers in the crowd who accused the disciples of being drunk. Verses 13 and 15. And so now, this is just amazing to me. Peter, 2 weeks ago, completely disillusioned and frightened out of his mind. You remember he denied Christ 3 times, 2 weeks earlier. Now takes his stand, the Bible says, having received and been empowered by the promised Holy Spirit of God. And this expression, give heed, that Peter uses in verse 14 shows the confidence that he now has in what he is about to explain to this massive crowd of people. First of all, he explains how ridiculous it is to assume that these men are drunk, because nobody gets drunk at 9 a.m., and everybody there would have known that a devoted Jew only drinks wine when they eat meat in the evenings. In the mornings, they ate bread and drank water. And they only touched wine when they ate meat in the evenings, Exodus chapter 16. Therefore, the only explanation for what they witnessed that day was a miraculous working of God. There was no other legitimate explanation for what was taking place. And I love what Dr. Tony Evans says in his commentary, and I put it in your notes. This combination of divine activity and human confusion was the perfect occasion for proclaiming the truth of what God had done through Christ and what he was now doing among them through the Holy Spirit. Okay, look back at verses 16 through 21. But this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my Spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will grant wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Point number one in your notes this morning. What started at Pentecost with the initial outpouring, and you need to put in your blanks what he has up here. I changed it a little bit after that, okay? So I'll say it a little bit differently, but it means the exact same thing. What started at Pentecost with the initial outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the 120 disciples will culminate with the complete outpouring of the Holy Spirit on all of mankind at the second coming of Jesus Christ and the establishment of his millennial kingdom. That's a lot. Let me say it again. What started at Pentecost with this initial, or up there, the beginning of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the 120 disciples will culminate with the complete outpouring of the Holy Spirit later on at the second coming of Christ on all of mankind when Jesus Christ sets up his millennial kingdom on planet Earth. Put another way, what began at Pentecost with this initial outpouring of the Holy Spirit will come to completion in Christ's millennial kingdom. And you may remember that according to the Old Testament, there will be two comings of the Messiah. The Old Testament teaches that the Messiah would first come as the suffering servant to die for the sins of the world, Isaiah chapter 53. And then the Old Testament also teaches that Christ would come again in his glory to set up his kingdom, Isaiah chapter 9, okay? And so the first coming of Christ introduced the last days, which is a reference to the Messiah coming to establish his kingdom first in the hearts of his followers. And the last days also refers to this 2,000-year period between the first and the second coming of Jesus Christ, known as the church age. And so Pentecost marked the beginning of this new period of time that would eventually lead to all people receiving the Holy Spirit. Point number two. Number one, what started at Pentecost with the initial outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the 120 disciples will culminate with the complete outpouring of the Holy Spirit on all mankind at the second coming of Jesus Christ. Number two, for all mankind to receive God's promise of the Holy Spirit, Christ will have to come again and literally this time set up the kingdom of God on earth, known as his millennial kingdom. And for all mankind to receive this outpouring of the Holy Spirit, every living person on earth at that time must be saved. Every living person on the earth at that time must be redeemed, Matthew chapters 24 and 25. So the kingdom of God was first revealed to mankind at the birth of Jesus Christ, at his first coming. And the kingdom of God will ultimately be established on earth in its physical form at Christ's second coming. And it is then that God says in verses 17 and 18, I will pour forth my spirit on all mankind in my kingdom, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Now, let me stop there for a minute, because we don't really understand yet what these prophecies, what these visions or these dreams will be. However, we do know from Scripture that the purpose of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Jesus Christ. Amen? That is the ultimate purpose. The Holy Spirit doesn't glorify himself. He doesn't put himself out there for praise and worship. He doesn't even say anything unless it comes from the Father, according to the Scriptures. Okay? And his ultimate purpose is to always glorify Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 1:8, John chapters 14 and 15. And the Lord continues, even on my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Point number three. Number one, what started at Pentecost with the initial outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the 120 disciples will eventually culminate with the complete outpouring of the Holy Spirit on all of mankind at the second coming of Christ. Number two, for all of mankind to receive God's promise of the Holy Spirit, Christ will have to come again and literally set up the kingdom of God on earth, known as his millennial kingdom. Number three, if you have received the Holy Spirit, this is huge. This is why I love Tony Evans' commentary. If you have a hard time reading the Bible, and you're like me, you need practical, you need to know and understand what the Bible can mean practically for your life. You're not one of these dudes that just studies theology all the time, but you want to know what it means for your life, his commentary. It's not super deep because it's a commentary of the entire Bible, but his commentary, Tony Evans, you can get it on Amazon for $20, which is just a ridiculous price to buy that commentary. Is the best overall commentary of the Bible I've ever read. Okay. Not trying to sell it to you. I'm just trying to help you out if you need help. This number three is from him. It's in his commentary. If you have received the Holy Spirit, and this is absolutely critical to our lives, and yet you are unwilling to testify about Jesus Christ, and you're unwilling to minister to others in his name, then you shouldn't expect to experience his power in your life. That's as practical as it gets, amen? If you have received the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's whole purpose is to do what? Testify about Jesus Christ. Glorify Jesus Christ. He doesn't glorify himself. He doesn't make a show of his power of himself. It's all about Jesus Christ. And if you've received the Holy Spirit, and yet you are still unwilling to testify about Jesus Christ and minister to others in his name, then don't expect his power to be revealed in your life. Why? Because that is the Spirit's job. That is his job in the life of every believer, to empower the believer to be a witness for Jesus Christ, the Bible teaches, and to do ministry in his name, the Bible teaches. Remember Acts 1:8? It says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem, in Judea, and up here north in Samaria, and even to the remotest parts of the earth." And Jesus promised his disciples in John chapter 14, "I, Jesus, will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. And that is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides within you and will be in you." And then in John 15, "When the Helper comes, whom I, Jesus Christ, will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me, and you also will testify about me." Bottom line, the Holy Spirit is always lifting up and always glorifying the name of Jesus Christ. And that's when and how. Listen to this closely. Don't miss what I'm about to say to you. The Holy Spirit is, people are always claiming that the Holy Spirit's doing this and doing that. Let me tell you how you know, right here. The Holy Spirit is always lifting up and glorifying Jesus Christ, no one else. And that's when and how you know the Spirit of God is present. And it's when and how you know the Spirit of God is at work. Amen? The Spirit is not present just because someone claims he's present. He's present when Jesus Christ is being lifted up and when Jesus Christ is being glorified. Paul said to the church in Corinth, "Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says, 'Jesus be cursed,' and no one can say, 'Jesus is Lord,' except by the Holy Spirit." Peter continues in Acts chapter 2, verses 19 through 20. "And I will grant wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth beneath, blood, fire, and vapor of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and glorious day of the Lord shall come." Now, it's important to understand these signs and these wonders that Peter's mentioning here did not occur at Pentecost. These events will occur at the second coming of Jesus Christ, which verse 20 refers to as the great and glorious day of the Lord. Excuse me. And so while the day of the Lord, this is important to understand right here, while the day of the Lord can refer to any time in Scripture God pronounces judgment, can be referred to as the day of the Lord, okay? While the day of the Lord can refer to any time God pronounces judgment, here in this passage, it's actually referring to the second coming of Christ. And the book of Revelation also mentions blood, fire, and smoke in reference to the second coming of Jesus Christ. And in the book of Matthew, Jesus also described the changes that would come to the sun, the moon, and the stars in relation to his second coming. Look at Matthew 24 in your notes this morning. "For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west," I don't know which way is east and west in here, but anyway, you get it, right? so will be the second coming of the Son of Man. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, will appear in the sky. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet. And they will gather together his elect. They will gather together all those who have been saved, all of those who have been redeemed from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other, the Bible says. And then last but not least, Peter concludes his quote from Joel's prophecy with verse 21. And it shall be that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And this leads us to point number four this morning. I want to close with this. This is a huge point. Between Pentecost and the second coming of Christ is a God-given period of grace called the church age. Amen? That's the age you and I are living in. Between Pentecost and the second coming of Christ is this God-given period of grace called the church age, where everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And all of this was made possible for us by our Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, John chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. I don't think I had room to get this in your notes. John chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. So that whoever believes in him, Jesus Christ, will have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him. Jesus Christ, God's one and only Son, God's one and only Savior, there is no other. There is no other way to be forgiven of your sins. There is no other way to have eternal life. Anybody that feeds you that is feeding you a lie from Satan. Only Jesus Christ. God gave us one Savior. God himself became our Savior in the person of Jesus Christ and came to this earth to die for you and I because he loves us so much he couldn't bear the thought of spending eternity without us. How much more can you be blessed? How much more of a blessing can you ask for in your life? Literally, that you and I are so sinful, we are completely separated from a holy God that created us. Yet he comes to earth on our behalf in the person of Jesus Christ, lives a perfect life, and then dies and takes all of our sins upon himself on that cross. And then rises from the dead on the third day so that you and I can have all of our sins forgiven so that we can escape death and have eternal life. Jesus Christ, God's one and only Son, God's one and only Savior for the salvation of all mankind. And there is no other way to be forgiven. There is no other way to spend eternity with God in heaven except, the Bible says, through faith. You're never going to get there by trying to be good. You're never going to earn it. You're never going to be able to work for it. It's by faith in what Jesus Christ did on your behalf as your Lord and your Savior. Will you join me in prayer this morning? Maybe you're here today or watching today, and you believe the gospel. You believe who Jesus is, that he was God in the flesh. And you believe what he did, that he died for all of our sins so that we could be saved from sin, from death. When we put our faith in him, our faith in who he is, that he's God in the flesh, our faith in what he did, that he died on the cross for our sins, and then he was raised from the dead on our behalf. And you believe the truth about your sin, that you were born with this sin nature, all of us were, and it separates us from a holy God. The word holy means to be completely separated from sin. And maybe today God has shown you your need to be saved. And God himself, again, he came to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, lived a perfect life, which made him the perfect sacrifice for your sins and for mine. And when Jesus died on the cross, he took all of your sins upon himself, and he died in your place to pay the penalty for your sins so that you could be set free once and for all. And so maybe today you'd like to quit struggling through life, trying to figure it all out by yourself and accept God's plan for your life, which includes this free gift of eternal life. By grace alone, meaning you can never do it on your own, through faith alone, in Christ alone, for the forgiveness of your sins. If that's where you're at this morning, maybe you're here, maybe you're watching on TV, but if that's where you're at this morning, I'm going to invite you to say a prayer somewhat like this with me. And it's extremely important that you understand these are not magic words. The only thing that matters to God is that you mean it in your heart. Lord Jesus, I realize that you are God in the flesh, the Son of God, and the only Savior for this world. Today I want to put my trust in you, your sacrifice on the cross, and your resurrection from the dead for my salvation. And I confess to you that I'm a sinner in need of your salvation, in need of your forgiveness. So today I'm asking for your mercy and your forgiveness. And I'm asking for your power to turn from my sins and your grace to submit to your authority in my life, to submit to your perfect plan for my life. Please forgive me for playing God and trying to run my own life. And forgive me for rejecting you all this time. Forgive me for buying into Satan's lie that somehow if I follow you, I'm going to miss out. And forgive me for making this life all about me. Lord Jesus, I pray today that you would teach me to glorify you through the power of your Holy Spirit. I'm ready for you to be the Lord of my life and the Savior of my life. And I'm ready to start living for you. And I am ready to start proclaiming your message of salvation to everyone in my world. Thank you for loving me enough to die for me, to save me from my sins, and make me a child of God. Please empower me to properly represent you and your kingdom by the way I live my life. I pray all this in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Friend, if you said that prayer and you meant it in your heart, the Bible says now you're a child of God. The Bible says now you have eternal life. And so I want to encourage you to get with someone you love, someone you know. Tell them about your decision today. Don't let the day go by without telling somebody so that you can glorify your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, today. And get with someone that can help you begin to start growing in your walk with God. Matt, would you lead us in our closing song, please, sir?
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I'll worship your holy name. The sun comes up. It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name, sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name. You're rich in love and you're slow to anger. Your name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I'll worship your holy name. Bless the Lord, soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name, sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name. Strength is fair, the end draws near, and my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name. I'll worship your holy name. Lord, I'll worship your holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name. I'll worship your holy name. Lord, I'll worship your holy name.
Amen. Thank you, Matt. You guys be seated for just a moment. I need to share a few things with you real quick. So the children are at camp for a few more days, and then the youth start. So if you don't mind, just this week, continue to pray for both groups, because even when those children get home, it'll be, the truth will still be resonating in their little hearts and minds, okay? And so I really appreciate you praying for them. On June 11th is senior adult lunch. And by the way, parents, Matt, when do the children return? Tomorrow, okay? And then also... we'll have a camp Sunday for the preteen camp and the youth, June 8th. And then June 11th, a senior adult lunch is in Meridian. And then GBF 101, if you want to know what we believe and why we believe it, there's a little sheet of paper on the welcome table back there. And you can sign up for that. It's a class that I teach. And we'll talk about what we believe and why we believe it. We'll talk about our structure, our salvation, all those different things. And it's a great way to figure out who we really are as a church. So you can sign up back there for that. And it's from 4:30 to 7:30 that night. We have childcare for that. But it's also, a lot of people want to know how they can become a member of the church. That's the thing to do, is to go through that class as well. And you'll learn all about all of that stuff and more. All right? I think that's all. Oh, one more thing. July 16th. I'm looking at this little events calendar, by the way, in your bulletin, where everything's listed. July 16th is Family Night at the Park, and the churches do that. And so Andrea needs volunteers. If you're willing to volunteer to help out with a bunch of children, all these people bring all their little children to the park that night, be sure and see Andrea about that as well. All right, I love you guys. Thanks for being here and worshiping the Lord with us today. Let's stand, and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for this amazing day, this precious time that we have together as church family. It's such a great blessing to be here and just to be able to worship you, all of us together. And Lord, I love all these people. And I thank you for the blessing of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. And may he be lifted up in all of our lives this week. In Jesus' name, amen.